You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Happy Saturday, everybody. Happy weekend, and also happy Timberwolves game day once again. It's another weekend of Friday, Saturday, back-to-back games for the Timberwolves. This evening, they'll be in Philadelphia to take on the 76ers, always a difficult task, and even more so on a back-to-back and possibly shorthanded. Ricky Rubio didn't play on Friday due to back spasms, and so we'll see what his availability is like on Saturday. It seemed like it was a game-time decision, so perhaps he'll be available since he didn't play Friday. But at any rate, today's show will entirely be the post-game pod from Friday night's loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, which is mostly an entertaining game, a little bit frustrating. The Wolves did some things very well and other things very poorly, which I guess is kind of the norm at this point. But overall, it was a fun game, and the Timberwolves got great performances from their best players, or I should say two of their best three players at least. And so we'll talk through all that. We'll talk game flow, key takeaways from the game, what really did hurt the Timberwolves and what they did well, and then also individual studs and duds here to close out the show. So we'll do all that. A quick reminder to follow the podcast anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. That includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and also the all-new Odyssey app. Go ahead and check that out. That's Audacy, the Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon. That's BBeacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Okay, so the Wolves were in Memphis on Friday. This was, the Wolves had only played Memphis one time this year. They were up 10 going to the fourth quarter in that game in early January and lost by 11. They got outscored by 21 points in the fourth. That was a game when both Towns and Russell played, as well as Malik Beasley, as well as Anthony Edwards, although he came off the bench and only scored 2 points. But that was a mostly healthy Timberwolves team with a very different rotation, with no Jaden McDaniels, no Jalen Noel, and they had a big lead and lost it. This time around, the Wolves hung around for the entire game. They actually took a brief lead in the third quarter. They were down by double digits, or basically like 8 to 12 points, seemingly, for most of the second quarter, but had a push both in the second quarter to get back in the game and only be down by 2 at halftime. They had a great run, which was keyed by Jordan McLaughlin, Naz Reid, some of the bench guys. And then in the third quarter, they took a brief 1-point lead after a quick flurry again. But then from that point out, it was all Memphis. And the only reason the game was as close as it was, I mean, 12 points isn't close, but it was 20 plus. It was up to 25, I think, was the biggest lead for Memphis early in the fourth. And then garbage time, the Timberwolves won basically like 10-zip, 12-zip in garbage time, 12-2, something like that. So the Wolves really, really were down by 20 for most of the fourth quarter. But the first three quarters were really competitive, and there were some positives for the Timberwolves. Early in the game, Minnesota was running everything through Karl-Anthony Towns, and it was working. He was really effective early in the game, and that was the Wolves' entire focus. Naz Reid, as I mentioned, had a big second quarter. He was a huge part of this, of what this team did, of what the Timberwolves did to stay in the game during the middle stages. Jaden McDaniels, perhaps the biggest development in this game, was that Jaden McDaniels had foul trouble. He had 5 fouls in 21 minutes. He picked up 3 quick fouls in the first half and didn't get to play very much and only attempted 4 shots. He made his first 2 3-point attempts and looked like he was going to have a big game, but those were his only 2 made shots on the night. He was 2 of 4 shooting, 2 of 3 outside the arc. Again, 5 fouls in 21 minutes. So 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Him going out of the game, and of course he started at the 4, meant that the Wolves played Naz Reid heavy minutes at the 4 against a big Memphis lineup. And I'll get into this more in takeaways, but Memphis is a solid rebounding team. The Timberwolves are not. And with not that Jaden McDaniels has been that great in terms of rebounding this season anyway, but instead of going to, say, Wancho at the 4 for most of the game, the Timberwolves went with Naz Reid next to Towns at the 4 for some extended periods of time, which was a little bit surprising, but made sense based on the matchup. And McDaniels being in foul trouble really hurt the Timberwolves for a lot of reasons, defensively mostly, but also because the Wolves would have loved to have had Jaden McDaniels at the 3 be able to play and have the flexibility to play Naz at the 4 and Towns at the five and get more rebounding on the floor. But that just wasn't the case. And the Timberwolves were dominated on the glass, which we'll get into in a little bit. So McDaniel's foul trouble really hurt in this one. And the issues in the third quarter were primarily defending the three-point shot, and Memphis was hot, but the Wolves gave them too many open threes. They were so concerned about controlling the paint, which they mostly did. The Timberwolves mostly did. But then Memphis just was lights out from three, and that's not really their MO. I mean, coming into this game, it's definitely not their MO. They were 26th in three-point attempts per game and 24th in percentage as a team. They shot 19 of 39 outside the arc in this game, 48.7%. D'Anthony Melton had shot 4 of 6 off the bench from deep. Grayson Allen was 5 of 7. There was this moment where they basically just ran plays for him over and over. He only shot the ball 7 times, all were 3 attempts, and he made 5 of them in 22 minutes. And just, I believe that was a third quarter run where it was just like all Grayson Allen all of a sudden. So that was difficult. The Wolves actually did a pretty good job on Ja Morant. He only had 2 points in the first half, finished with only 11, although he had 7 assists and only 2 turnovers, but he only shot the ball 7 times. The Wolves made life difficult for him, to be sure. But the middle portion of the game was the inability to secure rebounds, the inability to stop the Grizzlies from making 3-pointers. And the Wolves' offense never really struggled all that much. I mean, there were a couple of times where it got a little bit stagnant, and it was mostly just dump the ball into Cat, and nobody was really cutting. And there was just a lot of standing on the perimeter, and a couple of lineups that were out there with, you know, Josh Okogie and Anthony Edwards both on the floor. And Edwards is obviously a okay 3-point shooter, and catch and shoot wise, he's fine. He's passable. He's nearly league average. Josh Okogie's not. And then you'd run into the situation where Okogie's not cutting soon enough, and now he's the one on the perimeter getting the pass, whereas the other guys on the floor can shoot threes. And Okogie needs to always, when he's on the court and Towns has the ball in the mid post, Okogie should be diving to the rim on a cut every single time and then cycling through to the other side, and defenses are mostly going to ignore him. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, before Okogie went out with the health and safety protocols, this was his first game back after missing 5. The Wolves were playing him as a power forward. He wasn't guarding the power forward defensively, but on offense, he was hanging around the free throw line, hanging around the elbows and the nail, and cutting from there, getting the ball at the elbows, and getting the option then to dive to the rim from there to get a pass on a cut, or to kick back out to a teammate for a three. And it was working fairly well. We didn't see quite as much of that in this game. The Wolves continued to run a lot of horns, and they ran a lot of sets with Towns in the mid post, which is fine. And again, the offense wasn't the issue. They scored 108 points, shot 45% from the field, 36 from three. They got 23 free throw attempts. So the offense wasn't really the issue in this game. However, and this is part of key takeaways, nobody besides Edwards, Towns, and Naz Reid came to the party in this one. Nobody else had more than 9 points. And those three all had 18 or more, which is almost identical to what happened in the first game against Memphis. But that time it was Towns, Beasley, and Russell. This time it was Towns, Edwards, and Reed. So at any rate, Memphis basically pulled away in the third quarter with that little mini run of 3-pointers. The Timberwolves just couldn't keep pace at that point. They couldn't defend the 3-point line. The fourth quarter got out of hand really quickly. A lot of what Memphis did late in the third was with Towns on the floor, and then the Wolves tried to bring him back and stem the tide, and it didn't work. So it obviously wasn't Towns' fault, but early fourth quarter, Towns was on the floor as the Grizzlies really put the game away. Going to the fourth, it was only an 8-point game, which was frustrating because the Wolves had taken that 1-point lead, and I think it was a 15-3 run or 12-3 run by Memphis to close out the third, and then they pulled away early in the fourth, and that was it. And we had garbage time. The Wolves won garbage time easily. I mean, they had 3 guys come in and play 4 minutes off the bench, and all had a +8. So if anyone's interested in creating a garbage time metric or garbage time plus minus, the Timberwolves have some guys who would really crush that. Most definitely, Jarrett Culver is one of them. He loves garbage time. He got 4 points in 4 minutes. Tried to throw down a poster dunk on somebody, got fouled, made 2 free throws. So anyway, that was the close of the game. The Wolves lose by 12. Next, I want to hit takeaways from the game, key takeaways. Before we do that, though, I wanted to remind everybody about our friends at Sport Trade. They're relatively new friends to the show. Have you heard about Sport Trade? You should have, because they're new friends to the show. I've talked about them before. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robinhood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, in a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market, and watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. Let's also talk about our title sponsors of today's show, and that is rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Plus, it's a family business and they serve auto parts customers and they have online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, the prices are always reliably low and they're the exact same for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Okay, a reminder about Locked On Today. It's still a relatively new podcast. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. The Odyssey app is spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y, or again, anywhere you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk key takeaways. Number one, first and foremost in this game, has to be the Timberwolves' lack of ability to rebound the basketball. We've known all season they're a poor rebounding team. They're 22nd in total rebounds per game. They're 27th in defensive rebounds per game, and also 27th in defensive rebounding rate, which is more important, obviously, that then adjusts for basically the number of available rebounds. So essentially then adjusting for pace, at 27th in defensive rebound rate. Memphis, on the other hand, is 6th in total rebounds per game, 2nd in offensive rebounds per game, and their offensive rebound rate is 6th in the league. Also, their defensive rebound rate is 7th. So they're, no matter how you slice it, they're a top 10 defense or top 10 overall rebounding team. The Timberwolves are a bottom 5 rebounding team. They're better than that on the offensive glass, but I mean, you factor in defensive, I guess we could call them bottom 10 if you want to factor in offensive rebounding. So you're looking at a top 10 and a bottom 10 rebounding team. That's exactly what we saw in this game. They played this game exactly how you'd expect. Memphis had 53 rebounds total. Timberwolves had 39. They were out-rebounded by 14 on the glass. The offensive glass, even more worrying, Memphis had 14 offensive rebounds. The Timberwolves had 5 offensive rebounds. So second chance points opportunities were huge. Well, the Wolves clearly were focused on protecting the paint, and they did a pretty good job of that. I mean, again, Ja Morant attempted 7 shots. He only went to the free throw line 6 times, and he only made 3 of them too. But the Wolves protected the paint. They protected against Morant drives fairly well. They kept, you know, they kept Dylan Brooks from doing a ton of damage either on the perimeter or in the paint. Valanciunas had 6 offensive rebounds and shot 7 of 14, but it's not like he was getting post ups and dominating Towns in the post. He was scoring on putbacks. He was not exactly dominant in the paint. Brandon Clark was very good once again. He only had 1 offensive rebound, but he was really active. He got 10 shots up in 24 minutes because he was so active in the paint primarily, and has always given the Timberwolves problems. So he was very good. The Memphis really almost kind of gang rebounds, offensive rebounds, and the Timberwolves just really struggle to rebound the basketball. I mean, I talked about Naz Reid's strong game. He did have 5 rebounds in 23 minutes. But you're talking 2 rebounds from your starting power forward, Jaden McDaniels. Granted, he only played 21 minutes. 3 rebounds from Anthony Edwards. You're starting 3. And off the bench, you've got Naz with 5, Hernan Gomez with 4. Nobody else had more than 2 rebounds. Josh Kogi played 20 minutes, had 2 rebounds. Jalen Noel played 21 minutes, had 1 rebound. And the Timberwolves just couldn't end possessions. I mean, defensive rebounding is part of defense. I mean, that counts towards defense. If you're able to end a possession, that's how you end a possession. It's either you're giving up points. Obviously, I guess you could be getting a steal or an unforced turnover, or you're getting a rebound. The Timberwolves only got 34 defensive rebounds in this game. Memphis had 14 offensive rebounds in this game. So that was the biggest issue. And then related to that was the 3-point shooting percentage. Again, part of it was Memphis had a really hot shooting night. Part of it was the Timberwolves didn't scramble well enough defensively in the third quarter, especially third quarter, early fourth quarter. The first half was okay. I mean, granted, they gave up 68 points in the first half, but Memphis had some hot shooting. The Timberwolves mostly did a good job getting out on shooters and getting hands up, and Memphis was making some tough shots, but things kind of went downhill as the game went on in terms of defensive effort, which has been a consistent theme and a consistent issue for the Timberwolves, for Chris Finch's group, and I guess also for Ryan Saunders' group before him. But 3-point shooting percentage, defensive rebounding, and then on the offensive side, it's mostly just ball movement. And, you know, Towns only had 2 assists in this game, which isn't the norm for him nowadays. He also had 0 turnovers, which is great. But the Wolves ran a lot of horn sets. They ran a lot of Anthony Edwards with the ball in his hands. He had 6 assists and only shot the ball 14 times. I haven't even really talked about him yet. He had the second most field goal attempts on the Timberwolves next to Towns, but it was a quiet 22 points, if that's possible, from Anthony Edwards. Overall, I mean, I think it's fair to say the Wolves offense didn't have the flow that they'd like to have. And Memphis is a solid defensive team. I mean, they're 7th in defensive rating. They're middle of the pack in terms of opponents' points given up, but they play fast. So that's mostly why, because they're allowing more defensive possessions. I mean, this is a solid defensive team with some good individual defenders as well. Although, like, John Morant's not a good defender, right? I mean, Dylan Brooks isn't a very good defender. But besides them, I mean, you got Kyle Anderson, you've got Tyus Jones off the bench, Xavier Tillman. They've got several guys, Brandon Clark, who are good defenders that can do more than hold their own. The Timberwolves don't have very many good individual defenders. I mean, of the guys who played in this game, you're mostly looking at Josh Okogie and at times Karl-Anthony Towns. That's pretty much it. Jaden McDaniels, obviously, but he had the foul trouble. So, I mean, sometimes it boils down, team concept is super important. And I talked about this on Friday's show about how team concept is the best way to stop Anthony Edwards or slow him down. At least if you have a defense that can move on a string and understand, it's basically what the Timberwolves have almost never been able to do, which is understand opposing personnel and have a game plan to stop one player specifically and execute that game plan. That's how you stop Anthony Edwards. You can't really stop him one-on-one. And the Timberwolves don't have guys that can stop anybody one-on-one, and they aren't cohesive enough as a unit to truly play team defense to any level of effectiveness either. So if we're going to boil this thing down to key takeaways, it's defensive rebounding and rebounding as a whole, and it's the defensive 3-point field goal percentage. Memphis was 19 of 39, a crazy 48.7% are the biggest things. And then secondarily, offensive flow and having any sort of consistency on offense. Notably, D'Angelo Russell's on this trip. He was on the bench. This is the first time he's been on a road trip in I don't know, almost 2 months, a month and a half. So positive to see him back around the team and with the team. So not sure what that means in terms of availability. I wouldn't expect he's available Saturday because he was listed as out pretty early before Friday's game, but perhaps it's upcoming here in the next week or so. Okay, I want to finish the show today by talking about individual studs and duds. Before we do that, though, one more time, let's talk about the Built Bar Madness from the month of March. I've been talking about Built Bar now for a year. More than a year. It's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And Built Bar Madness just finished. So we found out who the number one Built Bar is, the best tasting protein bar, according to you, the fans of Built Bar. And that was, of course, coconut brownie chunk, which is just amazing. It is by far my favorite bar. It tastes literally like the chocolate coconut candy bar that you're thinking of right now. If you like that, that's what it tastes like. if not better, honestly, and it's good for you. So that's who won, but go to builtbar.com. You can check out the bracket and see how things went down. You can also follow them on Twitter @bar_built. And if you're interested in trying the best tasting protein bar ever, and you should be, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. You can use that promo code over and over again. Trust me, I have. You can check back or you could check there now to see who won, which I already told you, but also how they won, what the championship looked like, the final four teams, the final four bars. But be sure to check that out. Use the promo code LOCK15 and enjoy Built Bar because they are fantastic. Also, a reminder about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and now baseball is as well. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got the Final Four and the championship game for the NCAA this weekend. You can get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's wrap today by talking all about studs and duds from this game for the Wolves. This is pretty easy. Karl-Anthony Towns was the best player on the floor, really, for either team in this game. He had 30 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block, 0 turnovers. He was 11 of 25 from the field. The only issue with his game was the 1 of 8 outside the arc. He missed his first 5 3-point attempts and finished 1 of 8. But he drew a bunch of fouls. He was 7 of 7, a perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Chris Finch said after the game he felt like Towns still isn't getting the benefit of the doubt on whistles, especially on the perimeter. And his point was that bigs on the perimeter often get officiated like bigs in the post instead of like guards on the perimeter, right? Those touch fouls, the hand check foul, the two hands, if Towns is on the perimeter and goes to back somebody down, guys are putting two hands on him all day long, and that's a foul all day long. You can have the arm bar in the post, right? But you can't put two hands on a guy, and people are doing that to Towns. He's not talking strictly about shooting fouls, but the kind of fouls that other guards are getting on the perimeter. I mean, Memphis got into the bonus a couple of times early in this game. I think it was the second and third, maybe second and fourth quarter, early in the quarters, because of ticky-tack stuff on the perimeter. And Towns doesn't get those calls. And he's starting to operate more and more on the perimeter with the ball in his hands. And Finch is expecting him to get those calls to help his team get into the bonus sooner. And then once they're in the bonus, that's free throws for Towns. And that's part of the reason you put the ball in your best player's hands as much as possible, because they're going to draw fouls, they're going to get your team into the bonus, and then they're going to get free throw attempts. And as we saw in this game, 7 of 7 from the line, despite an issue, problems shooting the ball from deep in this game, Towns had 30 points on 25 shots and made those 7 free throws. So he was also the only Timberwolves player with more than 5 rebounds in the game, which is insane. No other starter had more than 3. Towns had 16. Again, just the 2 assists, but 0 turnovers. And he didn't really get into foul trouble. He finished with 4, but it was never really a major issue for him. He still played 34 minutes and then, of course, sat the last few when it became a 20-plus point deficit late in the game. But he was fantastic and it was not his fault. He was actually pretty good defensively as well. I know Valanciunas had a good game, but Towns was active defensively. It's hard to pin anything of this one on Towns. Anthony Edwards, again, really quiet but effective 22 points. 22 points on 14 shots has to be about as effective of a game, or efficient of a game, I guess. Well, both effective and efficient, that we've ever seen from Anthony Edwards. I mean, oftentimes if he's scoring 22 points, he's taking 17, 18, 19 shots. 14 shots, he only attempted 3 threes. 2 of 3 outside the arc. That means that he was 7 of 11 inside the arc. Only had 2 free throw attempts. And he shot a couple mid-range jumpers, but really he was getting into the paint. I mean, this wasn't a bad shot selection game for him. And he only attempted the 2 free throws, made both of them, had 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal with 3 turnovers. He continues to try and be opportunistic defensively and made a couple of plays, almost jumped a couple of other passing lanes for additional steals. Remember, he's had a couple of 3-plus steal games recently because of his anticipation and a little bit of gambling, but mostly smart, solid plays. He was solid defensively again in this one. He did have three turnovers, which was the second most on the team, but he did also have the best plus minus of any starter at a minus five. So a really good game from Edwards. And it's one of those things where, you know, the other night he had a big game and everyone was talking about him and Jaden McDaniels when Towns actually had had an equally as solid game. This time everyone's going to be talking about Towns, but Edwards was really good. I mean, 22 points and 14 shots, six assists. That's really good to see from Anthony Edwards. And it's not the gaudy numbers that we're used to seeing or that, you know, Twitter wants to pick up on, but a really solid game from Anthony Edwards, no doubt. The third stud, it has to be Naz Reid. I mean, he had 18 and 5 off the bench, 5 of 7 shooting, hadn't shot a 3-pointer in like a week, but he made both of his 3-point attempts, got to the free throw line, 6 of 7 at the line. So 18 and 5 in 23 minutes, 2 blocks and assist, 0 turnovers, was a plus 2 in his 23 minutes, and kept the Wolves in the game early in the second quarter with Towns on the bench, played really well next to Towns. The only issue I would take with his game is you'd still like to see those rebound numbers a little bit higher. He was still second on the team in rebounding and held down, you know, his, for the most part, his minutes. And so I'm not going to complain about 18, 5, and 2 blocks in 23 minutes from Naz. Really strong game from him. And this is what we see is every couple of weeks we see a big Naz Reid game like this. And it's tantalizing thinking, oh man, if this is what we're getting out of the backup five when Towns is off the floor. And then also some, you know, a handful of minutes next to Towns against, depending on matchups against big opposing front courts. I mean, come on, Naz is a bargain, right? Problem is that this hasn't become the norm necessarily for Naz Reid, and this is a little bit of a new role he's adjusting to. But he also doesn't quite, I've talked about this before, the gravity when he's on the floor is not the same as with Towns. I mean, he's not drawing, if he gets the ball on the post, he's not drawing doubles, he's not on the perimeter. Teams aren't really falling for his pump fake like they might for Towns, and it doesn't necessarily open things up as much. He's a solid passer. He's not quite the passer as Towns is. But again, we're not looking for Naz to be Towns 2.0. We're looking for him to be 70% of what Towns can do offensively and hold his own defensively, which continues to be a little bit of an issue. Still, overall, good game from Naz. Duds in this game, we're going to start and end this one with Malik Beasley. I mean, he's the guy. I haven't even talked about him yet. He was a team worst minus 18. And you all know how much I'm hesitant to mention the single game plus minus, but I think when it's as obvious that this number is accurate, we're going to talk about it. 5 points in 29 minutes, 2 of 12 shooting, 1 of 5 on threes, 3 rebounds, no other stats, no assists, steals, blocks, no turnovers, only committed 1 foul in 29 minutes. Beasley just was not good on either end of the floor. Not good defensively, which is what we're pretty much accustomed to. Offensively, he rushed a couple of shots. I mean, there were a couple, as soon as he let it go, it was like, nope, not a good shot. He's shooting off the dribble. What's he doing? It's like he was trying to get his own offense going by shooting off the dribble more often than he should, by forcing things. It's not very often either you see him attempt 7 twos in a game, right? I mean, he shot the ball 12 times and only 5 or 3s. So clearly this is weird to say, but it almost feels like there could be some confidence issues at this point for Beasley. Of course, he was good again in the win against the Knicks on Wednesday, but he had 2 bad games right before that. So 3 out of his 4 games since the suspension have been really miserable. And surely he's still getting back into game shape and all that stuff, but they need him to come to the party, right? He needs to be that, especially with no Russell, that second or third option after Towns alongside Edwards. He can't have 5 points in 29 minutes, 5 points on 12 shots in a game that you lose by 12. I think if he has a normal game, they're in this thing in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, if he drops 20 and has any sort of efficiency, which he usually does, then they're in this game in the fourth quarter. So disappointing to be sure. And he is the lone dud in this game. I mentioned this off the top, but with no Ricky Rubio, Jordan McLaughlin started. He was solid, 6 points, 4 assists, only 1 turnover in 33 minutes. He hit back-to-back threes, I think on consecutive possessions in the second quarter, but otherwise was really quiet. Missed a couple of layup attempts that were tough shots, but he does the thing where he gets into the paint, draws contact, and oftentimes makes those tough shots, but he missed them and just was kind of quiet. Not a bad game from J-Mac, but that left the Wolves with Jalen Noel and sometimes Anthony Edwards operating the second unit. Noel was okay, 9 points on 9 shots, but he had 4 turnovers to 3 assists, and you know, it wasn't a great game for him. Okogie played after missing the last 5. He was not great. He didn't score until garbage time, had 3 points, was fine defensively, helped slow down, you know, Dylan Brooks and some of those guys on the perimeter. Brooks only had 12 points and 13 shots. But the Memphis Grizzlies just had a solid across the board, even attack. They had seven guys scoring double figures in this game and controlled the glass got to the free throw line as often, a little bit more often than the Wolves, made their three-pointers that were open. Just actually a solid performance for Memphis and a disappointing finish to this game for the Wolves. Minnesota is in Philadelphia on Saturday. And of course, there's not much to say about this matchup other than the Sixers are really good, right? I mean, they're 33-15. They're second in the East. They're the second best defensive team in the league by defensive rating. They're middle of the pack offensively. But they don't shoot a ton of threes, but they shoot them well when they do shoot them. They're another really good rebounding team. I mean, they're top 10 in defensive rebounding percentage and offensive rebounding percentage. So the Wolves are going to have their hands full. Although Joel Embiid is questionable for the game. He may not play. He didn't play. Or he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. They're saying that he may play, though. He's officially questionable, but the talk over the past couple of days is that he'd return. George Hill, they just traded for him. He's not going to play. But obviously, even without Embiid, this is still a phenomenal team. I mean, with him out, he's missed, what has he missed this season? He's played 31 games, so he's missed 17 games on the season. And again, most of the last couple of weeks, this is still a really, really good team. I mean, look at how good they've been without him. I mean, Ben Simmons, obviously, Dwight Howard's had a solid season for them. Seth Curry was a big-time acquisition. They're going to be a really tough team to slow down. And again, they're really good defensively, even without Embiid. I mean, Matisse Thybulle, Ben Simmons, plenty of good individual defenders. So the Wolves are going to have their hands full. Hopefully, Rubio can play. I mean, that will be big in this game. They're going to need somebody to help operate that second unit, which should be McLaughlin with Rubio running with the starters. And hopefully the Timberwolves can, I don't think Russell's going to be back Saturday, but hopefully that happens soon because the Timberwolves are going to need some additional firepower with some of these tough games upcoming. All right, we'll be back probably early Sunday with the postgame pod from Wolves Sixers on Saturday. So be sure, if you're not already, be sure to follow the podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Of course, that includes Apple, that includes Spotify, that includes Google, and then it also includes our friends at the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y, the Odyssey app. Be sure to follow the podcast. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and also at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Today's show, again, was brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You can visit rockauto.com and please tell them that Locked On sent you. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. A reminder on Sport Trade, talked about them earlier in the show. Sport Trade is like fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's fantastic, takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. You can make money with Sport Trade easily as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance. Two, good old supply and demand. When you're ready to buy shares, you can pick a penny stock and a rookie with huge upside or grab a blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You can sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. It's truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com.